It's Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Brought to you in part by Iberia Sports and Rehab, Hike, Mindell, Grubbs, and Dalbor, Swing Insurance, Blazing Specialties, Additive Solutions, Cane Row Golf and Turf Club, The Quarter Tavern, Arsenal Ford, Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, and Action Specialties. Now, here's Coach Indes.
All right, Bayou Sports, blustery.
The operative word today.
I got up this morning. Tina says, why don't you go check the garbage cans, which we put out last night. See stuff rolling down the street. Well, I think I picked up myself and several of my neighbor's garbage cans. Man, it's blowing out there. So we'll
and into the evening too. Boy, I could hear it earlier this morning.
So hopefully this won't get too bad. We'll get some rain and it'll pass through. Got to mention LA Classic Roofing, the official roofing contractor of Bayou Sports. Grittick LLC, had lunch with those guys yesterday. They busting necks and writing checks. These guys are rolling. NCAA tournament.
Ouch.
You know, I'm going to have a tough time transitioning to this because now I've got to become the armchair quarterback because of what we're doing here. I hate it, but it's part of the deal. And there's obvious things about LSU. You know, they're rebounding. Cam Thomas just in the second half couldn't find a rhythm, which I think Michigan had a whole lot to do with that. But the main thing to me, and I noticed it, but then Tim Brando tweeted. Tim Brando, of course, from a native of Shreveport that's done very well in the television industry as a commentator, but has and always will be an LSU fan. He tweeted out how LSU was so poor in transition defense. And just like Turbo Jeff and I were discussing a minute ago, I asked the question, how many wide-open shots did LSU get last night? I can't think of one. I know that they did have some. But I can't think of one off the top of my head. How many wide-open shots, especially from the low corner, did Michigan have last night? An abundance. A plethora. A multitude.
A plethora.
A plethora of three-pointers. So it just seemed to me off of a missed shot in that transition, LSU's transition defense, and the bottom line of that is a controllable variable. I don't know if that's kind of an oxymoron, okay? But that is controllable. It shouldn't be a variable. That's something that just happens in repetition that Will Wade's teams just have to get better at that. That's something you look at the film and you look over the season and see if that's a common denominator. But, God, dog, just gave him too many wide-open shots. And then just Cam couldn't find, like I said, second half, just couldn't find a rhythm and forced a bunch of shots.
And, you know, the announcers mentioned a couple times midway through the second half, he looked tired. And I didn't know if – I didn't recognize that.
I think he looked befuddled.
I think that might be more accurate, yeah.
Frustrated.
Yeah. Well, Michigan's not a number one seed. You know, their number one seed, they earned it.
Exactly. And Juwan Howard, got to say, of course, when you're raised in the South, it's hard to root, have any love for Big Ten, okay? It's not in our nature.
Well, the Big Ten went down during the tournament. I mean, Michigan's the last of the standing.
But Juwan Howard, I love the story. Former Fab Five guy. Was it to North Carolina, James Worthy in North Carolina, that they lost that infamous the game that you were at, or was it Georgetown?
Woodworthy. Nope. Woodworthy and them. It was another group of North Carolina.
But it was North Carolina?
Yes.
Okay. But for him to come back to his alma mater after doing a stint in TV and doing some different things, and you can just tell the guy can coach. That they play defense, they work the ball inside. They've got such a huge post presence.
That was quite the difference. I thought late in the game they were getting every loose ball and every rebound. It seemed like,
you know, it wasn't the worst stat. See if you follow me here, Turbo.
All right, I'm ready.
The worst stat for LSU was the fact that basically at halftime they were down one with no turnovers.
That's right.
That's the correct. Worst stat. Because when you have no turnovers and you're down by 1 point, that means it ain't going to be good. Because you know what? You're not going to play the whole game with one turnover.
That means you get
no turnovers.
That's right. At least you're getting a shot. A shot.
Yeah.
That's it.
You can't continue that. That's like saying at the end of the first half, we averaged 6 yards on first down in football and are still losing at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
That's not good. So you almost play perfect in the first half, and you're down by a point.
I think LSU ended up with two or three turnovers in the game.
Yeah.
Is that it?
And look, the first turnover they had was just a really awful willy-nilly pass through
pass.
The back of his legs by Smart.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to kick it back. Just kind of a little playground pass that just went awry, but gosh, dog, man, just – but – in my opinion, those two teams play 10 times. Michigan wins that game 8 times.
Yeah, 7-8 times. I agree with that.
Just because, again, it's so easy for the homer, for the fan, to overlook the fact that LSU played darn near perfect basketball in the first half and still were down by a point. You don't think about that. That's something, well, we're supposed to play that way. That's the way the brain works when you're rooting for the home team.
And, you know, it was a game of runs, too. LSU had a few runs. Michigan would have a few
especially in the
runs.
Second half.
Game of
run,
runs.
Run.
Game of runs. And the coach that would call timeout, stop the run. Let's get back and play some defense. But
the wide open shots, when LSU started giving up the wide open shots, and Michigan knocked them down, and that's tough to handle. Tough to deal with. Those guys are going to make those shots in those situations. They've been doing it all year long. The crazy stat going into the game, Michigan had not won consecutive basketball games since late February.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How are they a number one seed?
That's amazing.
Evidently, they didn't play a lot of games. I don't know. Looking back, I didn't look back at their schedule.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
When I heard that stat, that's like, that doesn't sound right, but yeah. I know they weren't lying to me.
They were kind of playing in their neck of the woods, too. You know, up in Indianapolis, and they had a lot of Michigan fans there for what they'd allow into the stadium, Lucas Oil Arena, whatever they call it.
And Turbo, I got to go here for a second. The cynic in Coach Indest.
Okay.
I got to go here for a second.
All right.
So anybody that noticed that they were playing basketball last night, right? I mean, that was a basketball game going on. These guys, they're sweating, playing a lot of man defense. They ain't swapping spit, but it's close. They're swapping sweat. They're all over each other.
Sure.
But I'll be darned, when they get to the sideline, they're going to stay 6 feet apart. And the coach is going to have a mask on.
You're right. Yeah, you're right about that. There were some body-to-body fluids, I'm sure, being exchanged.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And, you know, you don't hear that, but I guarantee you there's chatter on the floor.
Oh.
You don't hear it, but I guarantee you there's chatter on the floor.
Oh, my goodness. It's just – and, again, look, I'm not one of these conspiracy – COVID's real. It's
absolutely.
It's killed people, but – when you get in that arena, and I'm not saying I hate it, because I do just realize sometimes people just need to show they're making an effort. I get the drill. but it's still funny. I'm not condemning it. I'm laughing at it. I'm not condemning it. But it's just...
It's absurd.
Like I said, Iowa Wrestling Federation, we're going to wrestle this year. We're going to let these kids get as intimate as you can in the sport world. There's no more... And I hate to use that word, intimate, but I mean, intimate means closeness.
Sure.
The root of it.
Yeah.
Okay? There's no more intimate sport than wrestling. But after the match is over, you can't shake hands.
You're right.
You know.
You're right.
So.
Amazing.
Is what it is. And I just hope and pray that we just get to the point where we can look back at all this and say, hey, we lost. We mourn who we lost.
Yes.
But we can look back and say, hey, this is behind us. And then. Gosh, hopes. I'm going to be selfish. Let's just hope I'm hoping my lifetime, man, this doesn't happen again. And if it does, we just got a whole, you know, there's a better attack mode. I always said with this whole situation, there was no playbook. There was no rules.
Yeah. And, you know, 100 years ago, 1918, with the flu influenza back then, you know, a lot of people died from that. I like to know the percentages of the world population today is, what, 7.5 billion compared to maybe back then, maybe it was a billion and a half. I bet you the percentages are pretty much the same, people who lived and people who died.
And, of course, the difference now is it was so easily contained back then because people didn't go anywhere.
That's right.
I mean, the difference between Louisiana and West Texas, I'm going to throw this out there, and I have no scientific data behind this, but you know, I'm going to go out and say it. In 1918, I'm not even going to say West Texas. I'm going to say East Texas. The difference between New Iberia and Beaumont is the difference now between possibly the United States and Europe, as far as something transmitted.
Yes,
it's just, you know, people are traveling. They're hopping in planes. They're crossing continents. They're crossing oceans. They're going everywhere. So. Definitely, from that time, the rules, everything, just the world changed so much. So,
yes.
Yeah, let's just hope that
the automobile.
Yes. The world has shrunk. The world has shrunk. My last observation, talking about the tournament, and then we'll move on. As much as I believe. And many others do, that the one-and-done mentality of the player in NCAA basketball, as much as it has really hurt the game, we got to agree, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hurt it bad.
You can't identify like you
used
to.
Yes. March Madness is still an awesome entity. It's incomparable.
It's better than the football bowl system, I can tell you that.
It is. And, of course, basketball lends itself to tournament play. You can play a game, miss it, you know. Actually, you can play back-to-back, you know, day-to-day. They don't. So it lends itself to tournament play. But March Madness, the fact that these schools – Abilene Christian, Oral Roberts can come out there and shake that tree. Walk up to that big oak and just shake the heck out of it and knock down the Ohio States.
Texas.
Yeah, the Texas, Illinois.
That's right.
Loyola, you know, of course they're an 8, but still.
Sister Jean's prayers are working.
Yes, 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 yes. Tough to beat the excitement. Tough to beat it. I'm glad. I'll be honest. I probably hadn't. It's because of LSU that I've gotten more involved. I started watching games because of River Schwing, which I don't think his bracket is doing quite as well, but still just phenomenal on picking the 29 of the first 33. But it's fun, and I'm going to continue to watch. I kind of got hooked last night, so I'm looking forward. I'm, oh, Can I say this? Can I get away with saying this? Am I pulling for Michigan now? Because I really just got fired up to see Juwan Howard coaching his alma mater on the sideline. Am I crazy?
Question.
I mean, I'm serious, man. I don't know. You know, I'm a coach at heart, of course. And a guy that went back to his alma mater and had a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
And seeing that guy in the blue and yellow or whatever the official colors they call them, and at the end of the game, bom, 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 bom. Yeah. Well, one of the greatest fight songs of all time.
Hail to Michigan,
if you could be a Michigan fan or not.
It is.
But if that song just sticks in your head, hail for the victors. I mean, it's just good stuff. Bo Schembechler, the whole deal. So I guess I really got to look at the bracket. So let's look at it before we go to a break.
Yeah, you throw the left side of my brackets. I mean, the right side of my brackets away.
So we got the Zags at Creighton.
Creighton. Yeah, another Jesuit school.
Yep. USC just pummels Kansas last night. Now, Kansas had COVID issues.
Yes, okay, that's correct.
So they just pummel Kansas. Oregon upsets Iowa. Oregon, a 7 seed, knocks out number 2 seed Iowa. Of course, Michigan's going to play Florida State. Florida State really beat the brakes off of Colorado, and God bless all the people in Boulder, Colorado, with the awful shooting yesterday. I know the coach from Colorado had a statement after the game.
Yeah, the Pac-10 looks a little strong right
now. Yep. UCLA, speaking of Pac-10, playing Bama.
Should be interesting.
I know that. You have the two schools of thought when you're an LSU fan that you shouldn't. Some say you should root for the SEC in general. Some say you shouldn't. I'm one that tends to root for them. I don't know, when you coach and you send kids to many different schools, it's hard to have just that love for, you know, just one school. But I'm rooting for Bama against UCLA. I'm always going to pull for an SEC school against the West Coast. On the other side, you got Baylor, who, you know, number 1 seed, doing what they're supposed to do, playing Villanova. Arkansas versus Oral Roberts. We can see if Oral Roberts can continue that Cinderella run. Loyola, Oregon State. Oregon State, a 12 seed.
Another Pac-10 team.
Syracuse, Houston. So it'll be interesting. Games will tip off, I believe, on Saturday.
Yeah, no Friday night game. That's surprising.
So 29th. The
29th is, how's my math? Today's the 23rd. That's a Tuesday. Yeah, I guess not. So they're going to go.
Yeah, I believe Saturday, Sunday. And we'll get more into that as we get closer and look at some of these games and the more interesting matchups. Of course, follow the closer schools. We're going to look at Houston. We're going to look at Arkansas. We're going to look at Bama. But again, man, I don't know. I'm feeling the Michigan vibe.
Sweet 16.
Juwan Howard and the Michigan vibe. I'm just feeling it. We're going to be right back. And this guy, very interesting gentleman that I'm looking forward to talking to, Glenn Quibido, major part of the sports world in Iberia Parish in the late 70s to mid 80s, was a sports director of sports for the Daily Iberian, really a heyday in the time of he influenced golf in this area more positively than anybody, because he chose to not only cover it, but cover it with some conviction, man. I'm talking about, you had before the city tournament, before the parish tournament, before the shrimp four ball, he'd come out with his favorites and he'd interview his favorites. And then each round, cover it day to day. And of course, during a time when niche was niche and it was one school, Leroy Etienne, Virg Osbury, Mark Roman, James Poole, Alexis, it's endless.
Yes.
The players that came through at that time. Catholic High had some good teams, but just didn't have the star power. That came out of the school like Nish had at that time. So we're going to be right back. 367-1240, www.kane1240.com. We'll be right back.
We're making it easy at Arsenault Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenault Ford.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit FrankSpecialtyFitnessEquipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Kane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Kane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Kane Row and enjoy.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Mabrutta. Jimmy Carrier back on Friday. Saturday, it's cross country. Sunday, Kip Saunier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 5 to 8, most drinks, half price.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies, such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
Back here on this blustery Tuesday morning in Iberia Parish. Hey, Glenn, is the wind blowing over there in Acadia as well?
Yes, it's starting to come right now, Brent. Watching the news, and I tell you what, anybody heading west, they might want to pull over and have breakfast for a while. It's pretty bad from Jennings all the way to the Texas state line. All kind of notices and stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's headed y'all way.
Yeah, well, I was telling Tony this morning. I got up and my wife asked me, you know, Tina asked me to go check the garbage cans, and I ended up walking down the street, pretty much picking up everybody's garbage can on Squirrel Run Drive. It's it's coming, man.
I didn't even go check. I'm going to have to check mine when we hang up.
And Glenn, what people don't understand, that, and of course, I'm getting way off topic here, but okay, New Iberia, we got trees everywhere. We got, you know, this and that. When you get to Crowley, Louisiana, if the winds, if an identical wind is blowing in Iberia Parish and it's blowing in Acadia Parish, how much harder is it blowing in Acadia?
Well, there's nothing here to stop it.
Exactly. It's rice fields. I tell you, Glenn, and I know, I spent 3 wonderful years in Crowley in my golf days at Bayou Bend Country Club.
Right.
I enjoyed so much playing golf with the Boulays and all those guys. I still think to this day, because I would often play with the three brothers. So it was Brian. Of course, there was Peter. And the grocery store owner, the older one, who's the best golfer. So Brian and his older brother would play Peter and I. And Peter and I would rarely win. And I'm pretty sure to this day that they just set me up and they split my money when I left.
That's funny. Yeah, when that wind's blowing, if you remember, I don't know if y'all still played some games, baseball games at Crowley High, but home plate faced south.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You could hit a ball out the infield.
No, you could. There wasn't many balls left at park. And Miller Stadium is kind of like that, too.
Yeah, you're right.
There's not many balls in March and April leave that stadium. It's something else, though. Yeah, I tell you what, we miss you over here, man. I tell you what, Louis Cook and I were talking about that the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, if Brent and Mr. Duplashan had stayed here and would still be here like you at Notre Dame, we'd be making those dome trips still to this day.
I appreciate that. Glenn, I say it all the time because I remember I talked to you about when I was leaving for Louisiana Tech, and you know I had reservations, but it was something I just had to try. It's something that it was a failure. I didn't enjoy it. I hated it, but it was something I had to do. I had to take that leap.
There's no doubt, but let me tell you something. We started missing you quick. There's three coaches that I've worked with over all those years, and it's been about, you know, I was in the business about 40 years, full-time and part-time. And, there's three coaches that got the most out of kids I ever saw in my life. And that was Bobby Kiesler. Hands down, I've never seen a guy get something out of nothing like he got out of those kids. And there's Louis Cook, and there's you.
Well, I appreciate that.
And, you know, those three guys, you three, I mean, you could take nothing and turn them into winners. And, I wasn't that surprised that you and Louis, Bobby Kiesler, I was against him getting a job. And you know, I've told him that, you know, we're friends. And I didn't think he was the guy for the job. And he comes in there, he's got a bunch of midgets and a bunch of sophomores, and he takes them to the state championship game.
Oh, yeah, I was at that game. And people don't realize, relative to the talent that came through Nish, that was not even close to one of the most talented teams.
No. I was there 15 years, and I tell you, if I had to rate it on talent, they'd be tough to make the top three, but maybe the top five.
They had a couple of linebackers on that team, I think, that didn't weigh over 160 pounds.
Oh, no. Well, we call our offensive line the Munchkins.
Yeah.
We ran an article on them. I don't think they had anybody over 160, 175 pounds on the offensive line. They had two quarterbacks, Jacquet and Landry, that was, I think, was
sophomore. Well, was it LeBlanc? It wasn't LeBlanc.
LeBlanc.
Was it Joey LeBlanc. LeBlanc. Yeah.
Joey LeBlanc. And you know, you go like, how can they be winning with this? And they alternated them in and out. And, you know, Chris Selfo was on that team, who went on to be a college coach, you know, and stuff. And, it was just amazing watching them. And they went 14-1 the first season. And the second season, they went undefeated in the regular season and lost in the first round. So, I mean, Kiesler's record was unbelievable. But
talk about if a guy stayed. Let's talk about if a guy stayed. Okay? If he'd have stayed at Nish, you know, to come through the Virge Osbury years and the Leroy Etienne years. I mean, Mark Roman. I mean, and of course, you know, we can if to death so many different things. But, Lord, because I tell you, Bobby was phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, Brent, you know, I was blessed because I was in New Iberia from 1976 to 1992. And I would have to think that was the zenith of niche sports. I saw more great athletes. I was thinking about that last night. I saw more great, great athletes in those years. And like I said, I've been doing, you know, I'm still right a little bit. But I've seen a ton of high school teams and players. But that stretch at Nish from the late 70s to when I left in 92 was unbelievable.
Yeah, football, just, basketball, baseball. I mean, all
track,
of it.
Track, all of it. Yeah. Everything. You know, track, Eddie Sorrell was the coach, still one of the best track coaches I ever saw. I'll never forget, they went to the, I think it was called the Southwest Relays in Lake Charles. And they, you know, they bring in 20-something teams from Texas and everywhere else. And this one year, Nish goes over there, and that's when Kerry Joseph was a senior. They go over there, and before they stepped on the track, Brent, they had 101 points in the field. It was, and look, this was against the best competition you could find. I mean, they were that good. And, you know, they had track teams like that. You know, Joe Jeff had his baseball teams that were in the state tournament every year. You know, basketball with Batiste was always good. Football for Wiley Fraze, who I still talk to probably. Oh,
where is Wiley? Where is he now?
Wiley just moved from Houston to someplace. West of Austin, maybe. Okay. It's like, you remember old TV movie Green Acres?
Oh, absolutely.
He moved to
Ava
the middle.
Gabor.
He moved to the middle of nowhere. And he loved it.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, he's close to his daughter and stuff, and talked him off, and he just retired from He got out of coaching after a while, and he was selling sporting good equipment, and he comes to Baton Rouge every year for the conventions and sell equipment. He had the conventions, and when he passed through Crowley, he'd stop, and we'd have lunch and stuff. But, you know, he was a story, too, you know, and him letting go was interesting in itself.
Absolutely. So, Glenn, you know, let's do a little – take a little turn here, because one thing I wanted to cover, and before you came on in the previous segment, I discussed the effect that you had on golf and the coverage of golf in the late 70s to mid 80s in Iberia Parish. Because the power, and of course, and I want to talk about that a little bit later, too, how print media has completely changed. I mean, the landscape of that has completely changed. But the power of the print media, because you covered the three big tournaments, okay? You know, to me, it was the city, the parish, and the shrimp cane. Four ball. You know,
and the sugar cane.
Yeah,
and those four tournaments.
And you covered them just like...
like the Masters.
Yeah, like the Masters, or cover the U.S. Open, or cover the New Orleans Open.
Yeah.
And I mean, always, because I was a sports junkie, of course, as a kid, which led me to do what I'm doing now. You know, being that I got out of coaching, it's like I've got all this useless information in my head. Why don't I spread it to the masses? And I can just remember getting up as a... So you said 1976. So as early as 9 years old to the time after I graduated... Reading the Iberian and saying, okay, going into the tournament, you know, is he thinking Johnny's a favorite? Is he thinking Victor's a favorite? Is Brian Sonia, Eric Indest?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
when Douglas Beard came along.
Yep. Oh, yeah. But the only thing about Douglas didn't last long because Douglas became a professional. He became a PGA professional.
Yeah, he could hit it a mile.
Oh, a club pro, and he still can. Glenn, let me, you know, I play with Doug not as often as I used to, but he still is a, you know, every now and then a part of our golf game. And believe me, he can, well, of course, because of the equipment and whatnot, but he can probably hit it further now than he did then. But what, gosh, those times, I can remember my brother Johnny and I must have been between 18 and 20, and we were actually leading the shrimp four ball after the first day. And I was so fired up to get interviewed because I had been interviewed about football. And I remember you called me, and I'm like, man, I get to do one of these golf interviews. You know, and we ended up getting our brains beat out the next day. I think Brian Sonia and somebody just beat the brakes off of us. I'm pretty sure I choked like a dog.
Those were great days. But you know the thing about that, Brent, when I got there?
Glenn, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you just, can like you I said, I don't know if you got a good reception or if you just...
Well, it might be that weather.
No, there we go. There we go. I got you perfect now. I got you perfect.
No, when I first got to the Iberian, you know, I realized, you know, this is odd for this fun area. I said, you know, you have Tri-Parish Golf Course, you have Iberia Golf Course, you have Brendan Golf Course, and they all within, you know, 15 minutes. Man, people must like golf here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then Curly Romero, bless his heart, I went and I talked to him. In fact, I got my first set of clubs from Curly, some Wilson Pro Staffs I still have. And we got to talk, and he said, you know, we have some tournaments. He said, you know, if you cover them, you know, I really appreciate it. I said, yeah, you know. So, you know, we picked up the first one, and then I realized, man, there's a hell of a lot of people that are playing golf in Iberia Parish and the surrounding area. So let's start covering the tournaments. And so, yeah, we would cover the – and Don Juman didn't like that at first because he wasn't a golfing guy. But, you know, he became to love it, too. And we would run it, and then on like, you know, you pick up the paper on Sunday. That would be the lead story with the biggest picture. And we'd have a box, and the box would say, he's leading, and let's say, you know, Brent Indes, and we'd have his score. And then we'd put, they're chasing, and we'd have the
That's
next
it.
Five or six. So you knew right off the bat how it was going, but then you read, you know, and we gave it as much coverage as, like you said, the masses.
I mean, yeah, hole by hole coverage. I mean, you could read and, you know, Indes bogeyed, you know, seven,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, two shot swing, Sonier, and it was, no, yeah. it was something, yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah. The one I remember the most sticks in my mind, and I can't remember who did it. You might remember, but it was at Brendan. Was number 10 a par 3?
No, so number 9 was the par 3 coming in toward the clubhouse.
Okay.
10 is a par 5 going out.
Okay. Well, whoever it was, and I want to say it might have been Eric, but whoever it was not having the best of days. And coming into that par 3, he aced it. And when he aced it, he goes on the back 9, and he was trailing by about 4 shots. He aces the par 3, goes on the back 9, and has like 5 birdies and wins the thing.
I'm going to find out. I will find out if that was Big E. That's my cousin. So I will find out.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If he didn't do it, he'll know who did it.
Oh, yeah, because it was the darndest comeback, and I mean, and started by an ace, you know, and I was up there like, I can't believe that, man. The guy hit a hole in one, no kidding. And, you know. And all of the owners were great, you know. When we covered stuff at Iberia, we covered stuff at Brendan, we covered stuff at Tri-Parish. And but you know, you mentioned all those golfers, and I tell you what, I'm sure they all still playing if they're all healthy, you know. But that's
absolutely
that you mentioned. One we missed was Victor Huckabee.
Oh no, no doubt.
You said that. Victor was always in it. I mean, so it was always Brian Sonia, Victor Huckabee, Johnny Indes, Eric Indes, and then for a while
Brian Sonia,
yeah.
Oh no, it was those guys right there, just week in and week out. You know, every now and then, you know, a guy would come in. I know Jim McDuff had some good rounds here and there. And,
yeah, Yeah.
And I can remember my brother Eldridge 1 year was leading going into the back nine on number 10 at Brendan, like we talked about, and he knocked it on number 10 and two putting for eagle, and he walked off with a bogey. that Indes temper, man, it popped out, because that's one thing that we that's a very common denominator of the four Indes boys. We all got that temper.
Oh, look, I miss those days. I miss those guys. Brendan is now a subdivision.
No, Brendan's still there. It's Sugar Oaks, so they went back to their previous name before Don Rutherford took it over. So Don took it over. Oh. It was Sugar Oaks prior to that. He named it Brendan after his wife Brenda and his name Don. So that's how it became Brendan. So after he sold it to Teddy Sliman, it became Sugar Oaks again. Now Teddy's been out of there. Teddy actually works with us at the station here. But that is run by Gil Primo, gentleman here, a New Iberia native, and of course,
yeah,
now
Tim Hebert had bought it.
Correct. Tim had it for. Tim's a part of my golf game now. Tim plays at both. Tim lives off of number 3, which is a par 3.
I'll be done.
Right there on the golf course, but he plays at both courses. Tim, you and Tim have both. You know, I know formerly you were insurance. I think Tim was also with Farm Bureau as well.
With Farm Bureau, right. So I know Tim well. And
then Eagle Ridge now. Eagle Ridge is what's the Tri Parish became Spanish Trail, and now it's called Eagle Ridge.
Eagle Ridge. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's still there.
I'll be darned. They still have all those tournaments or not?
The scramble format came into golf. It's amazing, and it's kind of the way the world is. People don't want to be exposed like they used to be. You know what I'm saying? The single golfer to play in a you'll have your club tournaments, but they just don't draw like they used to. Now, what does draw? Team tournaments. Like the Shrimp Four Ball, they have, like, we're going to have the Jimmy Picard Invitational coming up, which is a dear friend of mine who passed about 5 years ago, that we do. He was a Squirrel Run icon, which now it's called Cane Row. That's the name of Squirrel Run. It was bought by Hugh Andre and changed the name. But so you do have your four-ball. You have your four-ball tournaments that still have some punch behind them. But as far as the play-your-own-ball tournaments, you really got to get on one of these tours, these amateur tours that play around to really do that. Because, again, I don't know. It's just people these days, they just don't. They don't like being, I hate to use that, I don't know if it's a negative, exposed, but, you know, like we talk about baseball, the great things about different sports. Nothing exposes a guy in sport like a guy in that batter's box or a guy on that mound. You know, that's one of the highest exposures, to use an insurance term. you don't get exposed like you do, you know, right there. Well, I just don't think people like that anymore.
You need to use your platform to get at least the city or the parish tournament back. Surely you would have 20 guys at least to enter that.
I agree. And that's something I really do need to talk to, because Cane Row is really coming around as a golf course. Kind of went down for a little while, but it's really coming back. Glenn, you need to do me a favor. I feel like we could talk for an hour. Okay, so I want you to do me a favor, because in a couple of weeks I want to bring you back. I want you to list for me. I don't care how long the list is. Top, because I don't want to put you on the spot in where you miss somebody. I want you to come up with like a top 10, top 15 athletes that you covered. Hold on to that. Okay.
All right.
Because I want to do that in a separate show. And I might I might put that together with I'm going to do something on Bootsy Wallet.
Coming up
in a couple of weeks, who was just a fabulous icon here in Iberia Parish. So hold on to that list for me, and we're going to go through that. And we're going to talk some more. I'm going to get back in a week or two, and that might not be the end of that either. Because like I said, I know you and I could sit here and talk sports until
forever. I was going to tell you. I said, Brent, I just drive over there and we'll talk.
If I didn't want to put you on the spot to do that, but
no. I have my daughter lives over there, so
that's true. That's true. She, her kids at St. Edwards. correct?
Well, he moved because he got a bunch of little brothers and
gotcha.
they
okay.
all
gone.
But no. Hey, before we hang up, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you know it, I'm sure you do, but you do realize that Eddie Delahousie moved back from California and now is in Lafayette, right?
Really? We're talking about the jockey.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's a guy we need to get on.
I can send you his contact.
That would be fabulous. That would be fabulous.
Look, he's at the top of my list for athletes. I mean, he's a class act.
Well, good.
And so anyway, I'll
well, if you don't mind, you. If you don't you, mind, if you know him pretty well, just slip him a little text. Hey, Brent Indes is going to call you. He'd love to have you on the show.
Okay.
Just give me a little plug, yeah. but that man, that would be great. I'm working real hard right now on getting Dustin Poirier. I'm trying to get him. Yeah, we're trying to go big. Guess who I have on tomorrow? I got Brian Brown coming on tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
He was something special.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because he's one of the great ones I saw. Another one that. You might want to look into getting on your show is Shani Dugas.
Oh, absolutely. He's on my list. Oh, no. He's on when I first decided to do this and I just spitballed about 40 to 50 names, believe me, Shane Buteau, Shani Dugas, a lot of those baseball guys. Bud Sestier wasn't here the other day and he mentioned Shani's name. And no, they definitely, I'm trying to. The big ticket guys, I call them, I'm trying to space them out. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to, Johnny Hector, I'm kind of holding on to Johnny, and just different guys like that to get them on. But just so many. And like I said, you were here for just during the golden age,
I saw the best of Nish. I was blessed. I'm telling you, my career covering Nish, I was blessed. There wasn't another sports writer in Louisiana got to see the talent.
I agree.
From one school that I got to see.
I agree.
And it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure covering all of them. Their coaches were terrific. I mean, just the greatest experience I had as a sports writer. So, anytime you want me on the show to talk about some of those guys, I'd be glad.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get you back soon, Glenn. Much appreciated, man. And you hunker down over there because I know that wind's blowing up and down the interstate.
I'm looking at the radar right now. It's getting close.
All right, buddy.
Okay. You take care. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Like I said, I could sit there and shoot it with that guy. So, I coached his son. I was going to get into that. We'll get into more later. But so when I show up to Crowley High, they were a group of about six kids. They were at Notre Dame as freshmen. They were all Crowley High people. But Crowley High was going through a very rough time. And Glenn got his son to come back to Crowley High. And five kids immediately followed. And those same kids, their junior and senior year, we played Notre Dame three times and beat them twice. So, that was a fun time for me. Fun time. And again, I look back and think of the success that we could have had at Crowley. But I had that itch, man. I got offered that job at Louisiana Tech and just had to pick up and go. Again, it didn't work out. I didn't enjoy it. But I still don't regret it because I would have always wondered what if. With that being said, we're going to come back. I got a former quarterback that just got a great job in Crowley. Got to bring that up. Got to throw it out there. Talk a little interview with Robert Kraft. Going to talk a little baseball, UL softball. And we'll be right back right here, 367-1240.
We at Hike Menville Grubs in Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville, Grubbs, and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand?
That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
If you're suffering from a sports-related injury, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our highly trained and licensed team will work with your physician to provide a customized treatment plan to help you recover as soon as possible. Iberia Sports and Rehab is proud to partner with our local middle and high schools to keep their athletes healthy and in the game. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia. Visit isrehab.com.
Do you have a logo? Do you have a brand? That is where Action Specialties comes in. If you want to get your brand out there, you need to call Action Specialties. Leaders in the promotional and advertising industry, they can help you get your logo seen everywhere you need it, from signs, decals, t-shirts, uniforms, and more. They can do that. Action Specialties has been proudly assisting their customers for 27 years with first-class customer service and a dedicated sales team to help you find what you need and what you didn't even know was out there. Action Specialties, we can do that.
Nowadays, none of us can be without adequate insurance coverage, but we still want to be sure we're getting the best value for the money. That's why so many people call the Schwing Insurance Agency to get a quote. The Schwing family has been handling the insurance needs of businesses and homeowners for almost 80 years. You can depend on Schwing Insurance to find the coverage you need at the best price. So before you buy a new policy or renew an existing one, call the Schwing Insurance Agency for a quote at 365-2357. Schwing Insurance, 300 East Main, across from the Shadows.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Is it time for a new roof or to repair the old one? Hi, this is Jake Blanchard with LA Classic Roofing. We're a third-generation roofing contractor that has been in the business for over 70 years. As a locally owned and operated company, we're also licensed and insured for your peace of mind. We offer free estimates and a $100 referral fee for full roof replacement. Check us out on Facebook at LA Classic Roofing. And the number to call is 465-3888. LA Classic Roofing, professional roofing solutions since the 1950s.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indes. Phone lines are open to talk sports at 367-1240.
Won't lie, Turbo. I came in this morning with this blustery day. I don't know. I just, you know, I didn't have the energy that I like to have, but Glenn Quibido just gave me that energy, man. Talking late 70s, mid-80s, Iberia Parish sports. That gets me fired up, man.
Oh, look, like you said, it was a golden era with a lot of great athletes that came through this town. It's just unbelievable.
And, of course, not to downplay, belittle anything, of course, the athletes that have been spit out over the last 10, 15 years. Great, Jared Mitchell, you know, just all the different guys. But that at that time and place, and of course Nish being the only public school game in town, okay, before the school split, and going back, I don't know if it's crazier to think about how great of a job Bobby Kiesler did with so little talent on that team, or the fact that they had so little talent. How do you have that little – that just amazes me. Were there guys walking the halls that they just weren't getting out? Because when I think – I remember that game. I want to say – so that was that 80?
79.
I want to say I was in the eighth grade. I remember.
December of 79 was the game was played when they played for the state championship.
Yeah. It was ice cold. It was at Cajun Field. I went with my sister and her boyfriend with his nephew. We went to the game, and I just remember – just these gigantors from St. Aug.
They were big.
And this just averages grit. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a Gardner at that time playing for Nish. They had some dudes. Don't get me. They had some dudes.
Oh, they had some players now.
But
it wouldn't be there if they didn't.
Overall, no, that was the most coached-up team maybe you're ever going to see on both sides of the ball.
But as the old axiom states, it was the team with not necessarily with the best players. It was the team that played best.
Yes.
And that's what that team was. Yes. And that's what Kiesler got up to. All the little parts were working.
Yeah, well, I've heard stories from Albert Trappe, who played on a couple of Kiesler's teams, how he just worked those guys up in a frenzy. He just worked them up in a frenzy. And look, Bobby, that's a crazy son of a gun now.
Oh, he could you get a couple of adult beverages in him, and you found out the true Kiesler.
You want a life of the party? Invite Bobby Kiesler.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, Bob.
All right. Speaking of coaching, I got to throw this out. This has nothing to do with Iberia Parish, but coaching most of my life, all of my quarterbacks, I mean, I can spit them out one by one. Every one of them that I coached as a head coach, starting with Cooper Collins in 1996, finishing with Trey Amos in 2019, and all in between. Always had a very special relationship with those guys. Number one, I was very hard on those guys. As a former quarterback myself, I never pulled punches with those guys. I felt like the more pressure I put on them, that in the game it would just be easy for them. Well, one of those former quarterbacks, Kyron Benoit, was just named the head football coach at his alma mater, Crowley High School.
Hello.
So going back, talking about the whole Juwan Howard thing, how it kind of touches my heart to see that guy. Well, the fact that I coached Kyron Benoit at Crowley High, went on to play, had an injury-riddled kind of sickness. He got a little sick when he was playing at UL. Ended up being a linebacker for UL. I liked big quarterbacks. If I wasn't going to have a fast quarterback, I wanted a big one. I wanted a bull. But Kyron played at UL, graduated, gets a job at his alma mater, and now is the head coach. So can't tell you how much I'm proud of this guy. And wishing him all the blessings in the world with his career. Crowley High has kind of fallen upon hard times the last couple of years, and I'm just hoping that he can get that thing back together. I have all the confidence in the world that he can and will. It's become difficult in that parish. The great John Bork was the superintendent. And look, I'm a believer in if you live on a street, you go to that school. That's the way it's supposed to be. But it ain't like that anymore. I always say that, you know, the boss doesn't run the asylum anymore, okay? And these days, all you got to do is write a letter and say, hey, I'd rather go to that school because I got a ride or this and that. Well, there's a mass exodus out of the town of Crowley, and they're going to Iota. A lot of the folks are going to Iota. And it's really hurt Crowley High School. Anyway, Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots.
I was going to say that.
Kind of broke. Robert Kraft has not been extremely nice to Tom Brady since Tom Brady left. Mostly quiet, but threw a few jabs at Brady. Finally came out and acknowledged Tom Brady, which I thought was the right thing to do. You can't deny what the guy did. You can't deny the fact. And again, there's so many Tom Brady haters out there, and they're like, oh, it's a team game. It was all about the team and this and that. But I'm sorry. You know, Tom Brady, the proof's in the pudding. You can throw out, spit all the facts you want about the support that he's had with his teams and this and that. And I get it. I get it. If you put Archie Manning in the same exact situation as – I always use Archie because I love Archie, okay? You put Archie in the same situation, if you can magically put him in Tom Brady. Yeah, you know, Archie's probably the greatest quarterback of all time. I get it. But you know what? He did it. And he did it being limited in a lot of ways. The guy's just not athletic in the true sense of the term athlete, okay? Run fast, jump high, and doing all those things. Moving on, LSU baseball dropped to number 15 with that 2-3 bad weekend, losing 2 of 3 to the Bulldogs, Mississippi State. But this is the stat that I saw this morning. I typically don't look at rankings because I hate rankings. I don't buy into them. But I'm wondering if this has ever happened before. I guess it has because SEC dominates baseball so much. But I want you to listen to the top 5 teams in baseball right now, Turbo.
I'm hearing you.
Vandy.
Pitching. I hear you.
Arkansas. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss. Tra.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State. Quatre.
Mm-hmm.
Florida. Sank. I had to think. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Vandy, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Florida.
And they're going to knock each other off.
Man.
No, it's pretty powerful.
What a murderer's row.
Vandy's going to pitch in out there. Yeah. They have one of their starters.
And, of course, hey, good pitching. Yeah, good pitching beats good hitting.
No hitter by one of the Vandy pitchers against South Carolina over the weekend.
So let's go down. Tennessee, number 9. LSU, number 15. South Carolina, number 23. Bama, number 24. That's 9 teams in the top 25.
Amazing.
So you don't get a break in the SEC, folks. I mean, I'm looking. I don't see Arkansas. No, I do see Arkansas, number 2. What am I thinking? Who am I not seeing?
You're missing Auburn. Auburn. You're missing A&M. You're missing also Tennessee and Kentucky.
No, Tennessee's number 9.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, well, Kentucky. So Kentucky, Auburn, A&M. We'll go with those 3. Man.
Missouri.
So you just look at the upcoming SEC schedule for these guys and talk about just get beat up and beat up. And I say beat up.
You're not going 56-0 in baseball.
No. Especially not in the SEC. Okay. And again, you look at it, and really, I'm sorry. The one thing that bothers me about baseball, especially at the collegiate level, when you got a choice to go somewhere, do you really want to play at Michigan? Do you really want to play at Oregon? Do you really want to play at Penn State?
You know, there's some Big Ten teams that don't have baseball.
Yeah, I get it. Why?
They got hockey.
I mean, you gotta be such a homer, so wanting to not leave home if you're a stallion in baseball to want to play baseball. It was snowing in some parts of the United States yesterday. Why would you want to be playing baseball in that? So it is, you know, when you're comparing the Big Ten to the SEC in football, that's a fair comparison. Okay? Totally fair comparison. I mean, it's arguable. If I'm recruiting up north, dude, you're going to die in that heat down there. They had to develop indoor facilities to get you out of that heat. I at least got a chance, okay? But in baseball, man. I mean, you it's hard to take. I mean, of course, you can hit in a cage, but that ain't true BP, man. You got to go outside. You got to do it. So there's a reason why, and I wish I had it with me, because if I would just literally go south to north, I bet there's not more than 2 northern teams in the top 25, if that.
You might be right.
I'm going to have to check that.
Now, California's got their share of good teams.
Absolutely, but hey.
Stanford, Cal.
Yeah, but it's
USC,
different.
Oregon.
I mean, have you been to Pebble Beach? Teddy, you've been to Pebble Beach. The weather there, it's year-round. It's the same.
That's right.
It don't change.
That's right.
You wake up in the morning, it's about 62. You go to bed at night, it's about 64, and it stays somewhere in there. The weather just don't change. Now, it gets foggy and you know, and all that stuff.
Doesn't rain either.
Yeah. It never rains in... You want me to sing the whole song?
Yeah.
But, man, it pours.
It hadn't poured here yet.
I remember my wife going to San Francisco one year. We were very young when I was like, hey, we can't afford for my wife to go to San Francisco.
She hate Ashbury.
Yeah, but it was every morning I'd get up and I'd say, if you're going to San Fran. And look, the second I can start aggravating her with something, it ain't stopping, okay?
Well, they leave in San Francisco now.
The third game of my college career as a coach, we played Cal with DeSean Jackson.
Out in Berkeley?
Yes. And they were naked people in the trees surrounding the stadium. Yes, so there are these huge redwoods, all these trees. Now, Cal wants to expand. They need parking. It's the worst cluster you've ever seen relative to a stadium that holds 60,000 people. But they are landlocked. They are literally built into I call it a mountain. They probably call it a hill. Okay? There's no place to park. It's just crazy. I mean, you're literally on that little Berkeley street where, you know, all the hippies were hanging out in the 60s and 70s. You take a left, and then you go, and there's a stadium. And there's no place to park, so they want to knock down some of these trees. They are naked people in the trees, and let me just tell you something without getting into it. It's not the naked people that you want to see.
I understand.
Okay. It's like, hey, come on, check this out. I'm like, whoa, Lord. Interesting.
I hear you.
Very interesting.
And right up the road, Stanford.
Yep.
And they got 7,000 acres.
Quick story. We told our kicker, Ostriker. We called him All-Striker.
All-Striker?
All-Striker. I want to say he was from down the bayou. So we're telling All-Striker. I was part of the kickoff team, coached the kickoff team. I didn't coach the kickers. But we're talking to him before the game. Do not kick it to DeSean Jackson. I'm telling you, kick it out of bounds before you kick it to DeSean Jackson. We are not going to kick the ball to DeSean Jackson. Guess what? He didn't kick it. He did not kick it to DeSean Jackson. He kicked it to the other guy. And guess what the other guy did? Returned it 99 yards.
Hello.
And I just remember him coming back to the sideline. He threw up his hands. He goes, I didn't kick it to DeSean Jackson. Don't kick it to DeSean Jackson.
I hear you.
He's actually coaching now. We talked about that story a couple of years ago. I ran into him at a coach's convention. All right, lastly, before we go into the break, very interesting article in the Advocate. Glasgow, the softball coach at UL.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these softball coaches are different. When you really think in the broad scheme of things, softball in college is a relatively new sport, okay? Especially big time. Is it's coming, you know, on the national stage.
Yeah, with the ladies, sure.
A lot of these coaches are, and of course, the men coaches, they didn't play softball.
True.
They're ex-baseball guys.
Yes.
Excuse me. How many fast-pitch men's softball leagues are there? So these are ex-baseball guys. A lot of these guys became softball coaches because they were parents. They really weren't raised up through the system like you see in baseball, in football, in basketball, because they weren't players. So in the article, Glasgow admits that he reads message boards.
Really?
That he reads, you know, Raging Page and all this stuff.
All right.
Which, in my opinion, is crazy. But, hey, you do your own thing. Because he's really getting hammered right now about not sticking to a lineup. I think he's really, he's got his feelers out there. And he's just trying to figure out, when they get into Sunbelt play, who his best nine are. And, of course, you can do that more, especially in softball, because you can pitch the same girl over and over.
Yes.
You don't have to rest them like you do in baseball. So you're really looking for that top nine. I find this, he is the opposite of Paul Maneri. So you got Maneri, who is the Bill Belichick of college baseball, who he don't want to talk about nothing. He's very dismissive. This guy's like, I love reading these message boards. I love hearing the issues that these fans have because I love them and I want to know what they're talking about. And I'm telling you, that's a guy that hasn't come through the system. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying. But that is a totally different perspective. When I got my first college coaching, my only college coaching job, one of the hour-long seminars that we had was, You tell your wife, you tell your kids, you do not go on websites. You do not comment on websites. We are telling you don't read the websites. Okay, it's poison. Average Joe's out there given the right to come out and just trash you in the media and all these things. Okay? So, different perspective. And like I said, the first thing that jumped out at me when I read it, this guy is the bizarro world of Paul Maneri. If you're a Seinfeld fan, bizarro world is opposite. It's a Superman bizarro world. In bizarro world, Superman is a bad guy. Okay? So, Coach Glasgow is bizarro world Paul Maneri. Now that I've educated you on bizarro world, we're going to come back with number 29.
Vant Nerf.
We'll be right back here, 367-1240.
We're making it easy at Arsenal Ford this month. What month is it?
It's truck month.
Take $13,000 off the last 2020 F-150s in stock.
Because it's truck month.
We make it easy at Arsenal Ford.
Folks, I'm going to let you in on the best-kept secret in New Iberia. It's called Blazing Specialties. Robert Romero daily prepares a masterpiece of Cajun-inspired delicacies such as stuffed breads, wings, boudin, crackling, as well as pre-cooked and frozen foods. Need an event catered? Look no further than Blazing Specialties to make your event unforgettable. When I bring food to a customer, it's always Blazing Specialties. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and located at 1115 Center Street next to Freeman Plaza. Blazing Specialties. Come and get you some.
The Quarter Tavern is the premier spot for live music. Thursday, it's DJ Mabrutta. Jimmy Carrier back on Friday. Saturday, it's cross country. Sunday, Kip Sonier. 19 TVs has you covered for sports. No bar has more outdoor seating for proper social distancing. Quarter Tavern, 910 East Main, across from McDonald's. The best drink prices in DeBary. New Iberia's happiest hours, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 5 to 8 most drinks, half price.
It's spring cleaning time. Let Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment not only provide you with new sales, but also all of your service needs. Extend the life of your fitness equipment, including home gyms and cardio equipment. Give Frank a call at 337-316-1231 or visit FrankSpecialtyFitnessEquipment.com. Frank Burbank is a New Iberia native who has been servicing South Louisiana with top fitness equipment for nearly 40 years. That's Frank Specialty Fitness Equipment, 337-316-1231.
We at Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor are happy to sponsor Coach Brent Indes and the Bayou Sports Show. We have recently changed our name from Hike Menville and Grubbs by adding J.P. Dalbor's name to our marquee. For all your legal needs, choose your hometown law firm, Hike Menville Grubbs and Dalbor. See us at 1017 East Dale Street or call 365-5486.
Additive Solutions LLC is protecting frontline workers in the fight against COVID-19. Additive Solutions supplies custom safety shields, air purification, and steam sanitation. Our custom glass installs quickly and is extremely easy to clean, and our industrial purifiers restore your space with the freshest air possible. We will steam sanitize and hand clean all high traffic areas in your facility. Please visit Additive Solutions LLC or call Jace Dugai at 337-577-4858.
If you need physical therapy, choose Iberia Sports and Rehabilitation. Our licensed staff is trained at the highest level to provide a customized treatment plan to give you the best results for pain-free living. Iberia Sports and Rehab has the area's only indoor heated therapy pool and Class 4 laser device, which assists the body to heal itself naturally. To get better, go to Iberia Sports and Rehab in New Iberia, keeping Acadiana strong and healthy. Visit isrehab.com.
Now back to Bayou Sports with Coach Brent Indest on the all-new Kane 107.5.
All right, we're back. Listening, looks we got a deal going off in the back. Sounds like we got some tornado warnings going on in Lake Charles.
Yeah, up until 8:45, which we're about 15, 18 minutes away.
So hopefully you're hunkered down in your house. Maybe you got the internet on, listening to Kane1240.com.
I haven't seen the rain showers, you know, your backs to the windows, but I had light sprinkles, just a little, but I hadn't seen any hard rain. Yeah. Of course, it's coming.
We're going to go ahead and finish up, so I want to get home before my garbage can is down the street.
Yeah, Van Nuff.
Van Nuff. Well, first of all, one in sports history.
All right.
Just going to go through one here. So many of these sports history deals that I go through every day during basketball season. Wilt scores 67. Wilt scores 66. Wilt scores this. Wilt scores 100, which, of course, he did.
Yes, he did.
In 1957, it wasn't called the MVP back then. It was called the MOP, Most Outstanding Player.
Okay.
Okay. Was named the most outstanding player in a loss to North Carolina in the finals.
Wilt.
In three OTs.
Yeah, Wilt.
But this is what freaks me out. The final score was 54-53. I'm thinking that year that Wilt averaged 48 a game. Maybe, okay, I'm going to be conservative.
Well, this is also for the NCAA championship.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But would I be crazy? You're the historian. Would I be crazy to say he averaged 40-plus points a game that year?
I would say no, but that North
Carolina, over-under would be 40, though, right?
Yeah, but he was more in the 30 area. You know, he was dominant, but you got to remember – teams didn't shoot really well back then, you know. I'm not so sure they had laces on the ball, too. But, no, Wilt, I didn't.
But just think of Wilt in a game that there were three overtimes. That's 15 extra minutes.
They held the ball away from him. That's what they did. It was the old Dean Smith school of thought.
So, a 54-53, they had to. They had to take the air out.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
They had to.
Absolutely.
Okay, because, I mean, when you're looking at 3 OT, so you're basically looking at an extra quarter in change that they played. I'm pretty sure it was still the 5-minute OT.
Yes.
Okay? So you're looking at 12-minute quarters. No, it's 20-minute halves.
20-minute
halves. So that's 40 minutes. So you add 15 minutes. Okay? So you add three-quarters of a half. All right?
But Kansas had some pretty good players back then, too. I can't recall their names. Wilt, you know, didn't play his senior year. That was his junior year.
Okay.
He went and played with the Harlem Globetrotters for a year.
Aha. I forgot about that, but yes, I've seen the pictures.
Yes. And but that North Carolina team, I'm trying to remember.
Back when the Globetrotters could play.
Yes.
When the Globetrotters literally could have gotten on a floor on a given night with an NBA team and played with them.
That's correct.
I remember as a kid, we all thought that the Globetrotters would just kick the snot out of an NBA team, which that was wrong.
No.
Of course, if those guys could have been playing in the NBA, they would have. But those guys could play.
Yes.
I mean, Meadowlark, Lemon, Curly, Neal, Geese, Osbury.
Yeah. Those guys, yes.
Those guys could play. Marcus Haynes, the greatest ball handler of all time.
I don't know. Pete Maravich was right there.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected.
Okay.
I stand corrected. Yeah, I got to give Pistol Pete that one.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, the Globetrotters. I went and saw him at Blackham. That was
I did too.
What a treat, man.
I did too.
Curly Neal could sit there and hit a hook shot from half court from the corner, right at the corner. And he could hit it 8 out of 10 times. It was just ridiculous.
It was amazing. You're right.
I used to practice that shot. So right on the side of my shed in our backyard, we had the goal, and we just practiced that hook shot over and over and over. Wanted to be Curly Neal.
Yeah, Wilt was a phenomenal athlete, too. Yep. People don't realize.
And remember, he was in Conan the Barbarian.
That's right.
Great actor.
I'm not going there.
I say that with all the facetiousness in the world. Sarcasm. Okay. 29.
Van Nuff.
This gentleman was born in 1954.
Whoa.
Passed in 2015. Was born Canadian, but because of the name that he ended up having, and he did have some Scottish heritage, was hailed to be from Glasgow. Glasgow.
All right.
It's Glasgow, right? Not like Glasgow.
Glasgow. Whatever.
Glasgow.
Yeah.
I think
tomato, tomato.
Yeah. But
rodeo,
I think
rodeo.
A native Scottish person would say Glasgow.
Okay.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. When I say this was a man that you love to hate, you go back to Ken Patera. So Ken Patera, in his time, and Ken Patera was older than Rowdy Roddy Piper, a guy you love to hate, this guy in the same breath. Now, Rowdy Roddy Piper actually did become a pretty successful actor. I'm not talking about he didn't win any Academy Awards, okay? But he played in multiple movies. He would show up to a match with a kilt and bagpipe. Arguably the greatest heel ever. Accumulated 34 titles. Ric Flair, when Roddy Piper was entered into the Wrestling Hall of Fame, called him arguably the greatest entertainer in wrestling history.
Really?
Arguably the greatest. And again, in wrestling, you had to have the bad guys. That was the shtick. They figured it out way back when. I don't know when the first wrestling promoter decided that there's got to be good guys and bad guys. But it was a move that would change wrestling history for forever. And Roddy Piper did the bad guy thing as well as anybody. Had famous feuds with the aforementioned Tommy Wildfire Rich and Ric Flair. The number one word to use for this guy is aggravating. This guy was just aggravating. When I say he got under your skin, kind of when he'd scream, he had kind of a weaselly scream about him. His signature move was a sleeper hold. Now, there's a gentleman that's going to be way high on my list that was, to me, the ultimate sleeper hold guy. But Roddy Piper, rest in peace, died in 2015. So many of these guys. So we're looking 54 to 2015. So that's 40, 46 plus 15. So 61 years old. So many of these guys died young because they ran hard, man. Now, yeah, I didn't look at him to be a steroid guy.
Born in 54?
Looking at his physique. Well, I'm just saying, you know, because he was wrestling in the mid-80s when steroids were flying high, okay? He was jacked up a bit, but he wasn't just all blown up like some of these guys. That back then, of course, you gave him a pass. Oh, that guy just lifts really hard. Now when you look back, you realize who was juicing and who wasn't. Just like, you know, you look back in the football days, you look back in the baseball days. You know, it's just highly evident. But number 29, Van Nuff, Roddy Piper. Now, tomorrow, it worked out because I really would have loved to have spread these two guys out. But it didn't work out that way.
You got a tie?
Huh?
You got a tie tomorrow?
No, it's just...
Oh, your guests.
Two... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm okay. Jumping over to my guests.
Okay.
The two guys I have on are both... Well, one is a basketball guy for sure, Jeremy Bonan, former great player here and now assistant coach at Southern. And then another former great basketball player, but made a name for himself more nationally as a high jumper. Former Biddy teammate of mine, Brian Brown. So proud to say that he and I's lives crossed paths at a young age, along with Virg Ausberry, Leroy Achan, Stephen Bean, David Dominick. We all were around that same time.
And they all made it, huh?
Wait, what are you trying to say, Turbo?
I'm just yanking your chain.
Hey, everything's relative, man.
I understand.
You know, I can really remember in Biddy.
The ball was a little small in Biddy, the goal was 8 foot. Oh, yeah. I never played that game.
I really felt like those guys had nothing on me.
Uh-huh. You could jam it?
No, but okay. I'm just saying none of them could jam it. I just remember, like, really in my mind that – but I will say that mind changed. The second I hit high school
– They grew?
Oh, yeah, man. It was like –
David Dominick grew 5 inches one summer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just amazing to me. I tell you right now, Virg Ausberry, I mean, we used to play with Virg on the playground. Virg never struck me as a guy that was going to be this special athlete. But it's amazing how some guys just grow differently. They grow late. I mean, in middle school and everything, it wasn't like, oh, man, you better watch out for Virg. There were guys that you were way more concerned about than Virg Ausberry. Woodson Landry. I can think of some names of guys. But it ain't how you start. It's how you finish. You know, Virg ends up being an all-SEC linebacker. gets a little time on an NFL roster.
It was pretty good high school football player.
Well, of course. But he peaked. You know, wasn't a highly, you know, LSU comes along, wasn't a highly mm-hmm. decorated high school player.
Mm-hmm.
But just kept getting better and better and better, and he kept growing, and he just kept getting better.
But cerebral.
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah, you got to throw it. And that's why he is in the position he's in now.
That's right.
You know, making $500,000 a year. Okay?
Cerebral. That's right.
Smart. Smart. The game made sense to him. Now, tomorrow at number 28, guys, I'm warning you out there. If you are a young guy, you're not going to get it because this guy goes back to the true Mid-South days. And we're going to be seeing more and more of those guys coming up because that's the only thing I'll tease it with. This is a true Mid-South wrestling guy. I'm talking with Reeser Bowden, Cowboy Bill Watts. We're going back here. Now, we're not going 60s, but we're going 70s. Now, this guy did wrestle in the 60s, but we're going solid mid-70s here. So if you're a big Road Warriors guy, if you're a big Lex Luger guy, you know, all these guys, this guy is not going to fall in that wheelhouse. Do we have a caller? We'll take it. We got time today. Hello, you're on the air. Bayou Sports.
Yeah, what about Chris and Ken Lucas and Frank and Jack Dalton?
Okay, I'm going to tell you, Chris and Ken Lucas, that escapes me. How early on, because that one doesn't. Now, the Daltons, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we talking
about? You remember Bajon and his brother Tony?
Now, are we talking athletes or are we talking wrestlers here?
Wrestlers.
Okay, yes. You see, that I'm going to be honest with you. So, I think that's a little before my time.
Oh, yeah. That was in the early 60s.
Okay, early 60s. Yeah, you see, you got to understand, I was born in 66.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Now, there was a guy that I thought, I don't have him on my list, because he was, but you remember Grizzly Smith?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Grizzly Smith would wrestle in his blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Grizzly Smith. But, yeah, when you start talking 60s, you know, so when I first started getting into it, and I don't want to give away where these guys fall on my list, but so my earliest remembrances are going to be Killer Carl Cox, Dick Murdoch, Bruiser Bob Sweetan, Colonel Buck Robley.
Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes, of course, to me, that came a little. Now, of course, he's way up there. But
yeah.
Dusty Rhodes lasted a long time. I mean, Dusty Rhodes was around into the 90s. Unlike, you know, the Bill Watts and the Grizzly Smiths. And
Yellow Belly Robley.
Yep, Yellow Belly Buckley. Oh, that's all good stuff. Back in the days, it's hard to find a lot of good YouTube stuff of the good old Mid-South days. But
right. It's so fake. No, I don't like that.
Anymore. Oh, yeah. It's a different level of fake. It's so staged. Actually, somebody sent me a video the other day of the Super Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
He got it. So he's going through his whole shtick, and he's talking. Who was the other guy? So there was Reeser, but the other taller, skinny guy. I'm going to think of his name. But anyway, so he's interviewing him. Well, Super Destroyer, you know, he gets upset, and he slams his fist on the table. Well, it actually knocked the announcer down. Knocked him off of his high chair. And just hits the ground. I mean, it's just, you can't beat that stuff, man. I'm telling you, you can't beat it. And I'm sure for a guy like you, I'm assuming you're a bit older than I am, that you feel like that you can't beat it the way it was in the 60s. That was just great stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then.
All right. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Love to hear from the wrestling fans.
They got them out there, brother.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. The people that I run into, whether it's a golf course or out and about, and the memories that it's evoked from a lot of these folks, man, it's fun. This is fun. And again, that's what we're all about here. If it ain't fun, we don't want to talk about it. Okay, so again, Brian Brown, Jeremy Bone, and Amara. Hopefully everybody deals with this weather. I'm about to hop in my truck and head back down to Squirrel Run Drive and hunker down a bit. I'm sure my dog's howling. I got a little weenie dog. When the weather gets bad, she starts howling at the moon.
Got a full moon coming, too.
All righty.
How about it?
We'll be back tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll get to number 28, and we'll talk some more basketball. We're going to talk some more Iberia Parish sports. We're going to talk about all kind of stuff. We'll see you then.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.